We have a new set of public health guidelines to talk about. Governor Whitmer announced them this week.
Going forward, fully vaccinated people don't need to mask up anymore when gathered at a residence. And outside the home, masks will only be required in large outdoor gatherings with more than 100 people. But they're still going to be an important part of keeping yourself and others safe anytime you are indoors.
When we first realized COVID may be the biggest public health crisis of our lifetime, Governor Gretchen Whitmer came out swinging. She set up mask mandates, physical distancing recommendations, and more. And she got a lot of respect for that, both within Michigan and around the country. The message now is different. Our guest today is Kenneth Reznikoff, professor of health behavior and health education at the University of Michigan. He's also the chief scientific lead at the university's Center for Health Communications Research. And he's here to talk to us about what's going on in the messaging surrounding COVID. Ken, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April.
For so long, Governor Whitmer was seen as somewhat no-nonsense to the point of picking up the nickname Big Gretch and even experiencing some extreme backlash of her life being threatened around health recommendations that she personified for a lot of people. We're going to talk about what's changing this week, but first, may I ask you how you feel like the early stance that she and the state took during the pandemic, how that plays as a starting block in the process of communicating with Michigan's people about what needs to happen?
I think Michigan in particular was clear and unwavering about the initial behavioral steps of masking, social distancing, and other protective behaviors. So I think the governor and her team from the get-go set out very clear objectives, whereas nationally and in other states, I think there was more mushiness to the recommendations, which I think ultimately hurts their credibility and their uptake.
This week, Governor Whitmer made it known that certain rules would be lifted for vaccinated Michiganders. There are two things about this I wanted to ask you about. There's a chart that the governor's office shared, one with this set of rules for vaccinated people, things that they can now do like attending outdoor gatherings, and then a whole other set of recommendations for people who have yet to be vaccinated. And the state still recommends, if you're in that same group and you haven't received a vaccine, please do wear a mask. First of all, why do you think the governor might be lifting those restrictions right now?
Well, going back to your first question, is this idea of what we call gain frame and loss frame messages. What her chart does is establish both a gain frame and a loss frame. And that's important because different individuals respond differentially to those two types of messages. Essentially, what do you get out of doing this or what do you lose by not doing this? So I think that was smart because that contrast, I think, appeals to multiple audiences. In terms of the broader question, I think people are exhausted. It's very clear that people are waiting for the all clear signal. And the 70% step four is as close to the all clear as our state or the country can give to give people, particularly those who are listening in what we call a peripheral mode. There's two types of message processing, central and peripheral. In central, you get into the details and you might compare how is the 55% step different than the 70% step. In the peripheral mode, you're simply waiting, tell me when it's all clear and that's all I want to hear. So I think what is interesting is whether or not we'll need additional messaging when we hit 70% to tell people who are only peripherally processing that for the most part, you're close to normal, which is what I think most people are waiting for.
Yeah. At the same time, the governor announced that there have been some changes in the restrictions for testing for athletes who are participating in youth sports. This has been a year when we've seen some parents of student athletes getting really politically involved, trying to encourage the state and local school boards to allow kids to play sports. Do you see the lifting of this testing restriction possibly being aimed at folks who are, you know, who've proved themselves a constituency?
I don't know if I want to try and imbue motive and attribute political intent, but I do think it does send a message to parents who have been asking all the way back to last March, can we please have our kids have normal lives? That it sends a comforting message that normalcy is just around the corner. However, you need to get vaccinated. That's the subtle meta message of all of these rules, is that at least 70% of the people are going to have to do this if you want to achieve that. So there's this very, I think, subtle meta message that, yes, there's good things coming around the corner, but we have to have pretty high rates of vaccinations to get there. And I'm hoping, and I think the governor's office is hoping, that that carrot that is put out in front of you 2 weeks is going to encourage people who are on the fence to maybe get vaccinated.
Ken, what do you make of the shift in Michigan state government messaging toward consent and encouraging people to make their own decisions about these things, rather than just telling them, here's a mandate, you need to follow it?
That's a great question. So the data is very clear that in the vaccine hesitant group, there's really two audience segments. There's the wait and see group, and then there's the what we call the hard no. We have currently mostly hard no's remaining. A lot of the wait and see folks have had their time on the bench waiting, and now they're ready. The hard no group is particularly sensitive to freedom issues, that when you ask them, what are they worried about? Being controlled or feeling their freedoms are being threatened are in their top one or two reasons why they're hesitant. So this idea of saying, this is up to you, this is a choice we hope you'll make, is probably the right idea, that a mandate or even financial incentives can be perceived as controlling. And for the remaining vaccine hesitant, that is a particular hot button for them. So I think it's actually sophisticated to honor choice and what we say volition or autonomy, particularly for the vaccine hesitant group that is the majority of the unvaccinated currently.
A lot of people, in talking about the pandemic, have started to use this term, the consent of the governed. Can you think of another aspect of public health that has, I guess, hung so dearly on this concept? It feels like a first in my lifetime.
Yes and no. So, for example, when Michelle Obama came out with her Let's Go physical activity and diet program, the right went after Michelle Obama for being a nanny stater, for not trusting the American people, for legislating free choice and legislating common sense. So this has happened before. Motorcycle helmets has raised this as well. Gun rights sometimes also raises these issues. So I think this is perhaps the most salient example of our time. But in public health, we have been accused of being nanny staters for many years, of not trusting people's good judgment. And it's a very complicated issue, because if we simply let people follow their impulses, sometimes they might make risky choices that endanger other people. So, for example, driving under the influence, if there were no quote unquote nanny state regulations, people would be more likely to do it. So it is a constant tension in public health of how much to try and legislate versus rely on people's good judgment and free choice.
Ken, this is your field, but are there things that you've learned through the course of this pandemic that you didn't know about how people receive messages about their health?
Tons. From a public health communications perspective, this has been one of the most fast-moving constructs we've ever seen. So just a few months ago, we were worried about, for example, minority groups being hesitant, and people were talking about Tuskegee. Those are very important issues. But that changed very quickly, where that wait and see group started to soften, and we no longer see as many African Americans in that hesitant group. And now what we see is this very concentrated group that we've known about of white male evangelicals, largely Republicans, who are really pushing back on vaccine. And they're not necessarily doing it for what we call the freeloader motive, which is, oh, I'll let other people take the risk. Although that's part of it, there's this philosophical, ideologic pushback against something that, as many Americans have said, this shouldn't be political. But the fact that such a relatively apolitical behavior has become so politicized and connected to religion and ideology is really unique in our lifetime, and has really challenged our ability to come up with messages and interventions, particularly for this tail end of the beast, this highly resistant group. We haven't done enough to motivate them yet.
Ken Reznikoff is professor of health behavior and health education at the University of Michigan. Ken, it's a pleasure talking to you. Hope we can do so again.
Thank you.